Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. And when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting. And keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLACRRMMDRAHAFA. Or any of them there, guys.
Any of the A's?
Any of the A's, any of the Anons, anybody.
The alphabet soup of recovery.
Yes. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
All right.
You know what I need in this chair?
Is you?
I need a husband for
you
this chair.
You need a bolster?
They're called husbands, those things with the arms.
You have a husband.
Yeah, you have a husband.
No, I mean like those...
And I do have arms. Amazing.
You have a husband with arms.
Like those big fat pillows that have arms that you stick behind your back to like sit up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what this chair needs. Because I always feel like I'm like the Memorex guy.
That's a man cave chair.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yes. These are lounging chairs.
Yeah.
We've broken them in nicely, too. They used to be hard as a rock.
I know. Ball busters, when you sat down, you're like, whoa.
Well, you got to break in chairs. You know,
which Shelley I just did.
Broke in something.
I just broke something leaning on the chair.
Uh-oh.
There was a ominous crack.
Yeah, there was.
This came from over there.
Well,
we did not have a question of the week because, of course, Shelley said she was going to come up with one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
But I have one.
Okay, what is
good.
It?
Then we'll do yours.
Well, actually...
It's not movies, TVs, books, sports
No.
Sports thing, Shelley.
How about this? What is either the favorite gift you have received for Christmas or the favorite gift that you have given on Christmas? The favorite that you've either received or given on Christmas. Shelley.
Oh, well, for a long time, my favorite Christmas present ever was the year my mom gave me a telescope and a copy of Carl Sagan's Cosmos.
Yeah.
I loved that. I sat outside every night for months and months and months.
And looked at the billions and billions?
Yes, and I read the whole book several times. That was a great Christmas. I think probably for me, because it was the first time that anybody in my life had ever acknowledged that I actually had a brain, because it was kind of a nerdy present. That was also the year that my mother recognized that I was kind of a nerdy person.
There you go.
So that was a really good Christmas. But another bestest Christmas was the year that you gave me, the first year that you gave me jewelry. Which was the first Christmas, and you gave me the emerald heart.
Oh, yeah.
I don't wear it very often, because it doesn't match a bunch of stuff, but it was very... I was actually floored by that. I'd never gotten jewelry like that before.
Yeah, a bunch of emeralds in it.
Yeah, I was just like, whoa, dude. You know, I was like, wow, I picked the right one.
Cha-ching.
Yes.
She's like, cha-ching, and then she never got anything like that again.
No, that's not true, because you've given me jewelry lots of Christmases. So, yeah, I think, but they think the best Christmas present...
Don't get excited this Christmas.
No. Last Christmas was a great... You gave me only three presents.
You gave her your heart.
And the very next day...
I did not give it away. No, but last Christmas...
She re-gifted your heart.
See, this is what I'm saying when I say that Bruce has... A very creative, he's very good at gift giving, because like last Christmas, he only gave me three presents. And to this day, I'm still using them. Except, well, the one I stopped using the headphones because they were too tight. But Connor loved them.
Oh, the Beats.
Yeah, the Beats. They were awesome freaking headphones, and they sounded wonderful, but they would clamp on my head, and I would get a headache after a while. So I had to
you can pass loosen those
along. Huh?
They've got an adjustment so you can loosen them.
Not side to side.
Now you tell her.
Oh, now you tell me. Thanks. I already gave them to Connor.
Yeah.
But she
gave it away.
He gave me the mini computer, and he gave me a whole set of emeralds of cooking knives. Oh, gosh, that was great. But the best present I ever...
Those are the greatest knives, to be honest with you.
They're freaking awesome. But the best present I ever gave away, was the year my granny turned 100, and I hand-sewed her a patchwork lap quilt that she could put over her legs in her wheelchair at the nursing home. She talked about that thing almost every day for the last year of her life. And I still have it right today. I got it back from the nursing home after she passed. So that was, I loved doing that for her.
How about you,
okay,
Mark?
I'm done.
I think the best gift I ever received, my father had a painting commissioned and gave a copy of it to each one of us kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That painting of...
This is a very long story.
How about the synopsis?
It's a painting of a carrot.
A carrot?
Yes. It's the painting of a carrot. It is beautiful. But the story behind it is, we had a friend of ours who was one of the great art forgers. World-renowned art forger.
Oh, really?
This guy painted some of the greatest forged masterpieces
you've ever
in
seen
in the world. Never
the
painted.
Kind that you could rip off something from a Louvre and the replace kind, it with no, this and no one would know for a while.
The kind that Sotheby's would authenticate.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You got his number?
When he got out of jail. No, I'm kidding. No.
I'm thinking he did this... legally copied stuff.
Okay, yeah, figure that.
Yeah, okay.
Statute of limitations run out. No, he didn't do any of it legally. But
So
he had never painted anything original. He has now done 5 original paintings in his life. Each one of us 4 kids have one, and my mother has one. And that was just the coolest thing in the world because it's like.
That is
cool. Awesome. The only paintings he ever did signed by him.
Yeah. Wow, so, that is cool.
Everything else is signed by Leonardo da Vinci.
Why was it a carrot?
Because he said to my dad, "What do you want me to paint?" And I said, "I don't know." He goes, "Look." He goes, "I do paintings."
Yeah.
He says, "I don't even know what to do." He goes, anything I do...
Your dad's singing a diamond. He says, paint 5 carrots.
Yeah. So, no. So my dad said to him, well, here. He said, take a picture of whatever you want me to paint, and I will paint it.
Okay.
So they took this carrot, and they set it up, and they took a photo of it.
I'll bet it's a spectacularly painted carrot.
The shadowing underneath it from the reflection of the light above and the whole... It is spectacular. But... The fact that he put that kind of thought, this is my father used to assign one of us kids to go buy my mother's Christmas present every year from him. And so the fact that he actually put this thought into it and said nothing to anybody until Christmas Eve and brought them out and
that is pretty cool.
Gave them all those. That was cool.
That's pretty dang cool.
How about the favorite one you've given?
Took my wife and kids to Aspen skiing for a Christmas gift.
My cousin Susan is actually in Squaw Valley right now, and she took a picture like out on the deck where they were at, and there was like a little bit of frosting on the thing. Picture from this morning, there's about a foot of snow. She's like, wow, fresh powder. That's very cool, though.
Yeah.
The whole family thing.
Yeah.
I think.
How about you?
I think the and I'm going back for this as well, but I think that my favorite gift I ever got was when I was a little kid, and my parents bought me a Saturn V rocket model, which was this model that, you know, if you could do without being overcome by model glue fumes, which was probably the
why
first time.
Why would you want to?
Which is probably the first time I ever got loaded, because, you know, I closed my room up. But this thing ended up being 3 feet tall. And, you know, and that was probably because we didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid. And it wasn't like a car model. This thing ended up being 3 feet tall. And it was a really expensive model.
How long did it take you to put it together?
You know what? Probably about a month.
And how many pieces did you have left over at the end?
None.
Congratulations.
But I was kind of I was anally retentive about stuff like that. But I mean, and this thing, I don't know how many pieces this thing had, but it had a billion pieces to it. But I really, really love that. And then the favorite gift I ever gave is probably a tie between two. One of them is the Emerald Heart that I gave to Shelley. And one of them is from not too many years ago. I am of the Republican ilk, and I gave my mother, when Obama won his second term, I had the front page of the Times with whatever it said, Obama wins or whatever. I took that and got it very nicely framed for her. And the shock and awe in her eyes that I would have given her a thing of Obama being elected was priceless. And actually, one thing that I thought might have made Shelley's list was from the exact same year.
The Scotsman.
My mom gave Shelley a hand-hooked rug that she did.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Of the, interestingly enough, of the Doer's Scotch. Scotchman, guy, not the label, but
just the guy.
And we have it hanging in the room, and it's like
it's big,
four and a half feet tall, something like that. It's cool.
The only rug she ever hooked in her life.
Yes,
but I loved it. Yeah, yeah.
Mom,
I was
mom
thinking
wasn't
about that
a
too.
Good hooker.
No, mom wears earrings called hookers, though.
Yeah, because she can't wear pierced earrings.
That's one of her favorite things. I'm wearing hookers. They look like they're pierced earrings, but they're not. They just hang there.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
So you know what that means?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's time for the busy news on the News Not Fit for Booze. That was a little weird.
A little smoke left from that last hit of the cigar.
Yeah.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Natalie, John, Carol, Lisa, John, Joey, Randy, Dan, Susan, Stryker, Alexandria, Mitch, Jane, James, Anthony, Yvette, Fran, somebody, Georgette, Jack, and the ever-luscious Bruce.
Ever-luscious?
Yeah. Yes. He put it in there, so
that
I
sounds like a, that sounds like a flavor from a Willy Wonka factory, the ever-luscious Bruce. The everlasting gobstopper.
Okay. All right. This story happened in the UK. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The story was reported in a news magazine in the UK. It actually took place in South
Florida.
Yes. Alex Fultz was arrested last week on a charge of attempted felony murder.
Alec Baldwin?
Alec Fultz. He is
wasn't
20.
His fault.
It wasn't his fault. Well, actually it was, because he called the police and admitted to it.
What an idiot.
He's 20 years old. He allegedly stabbed his father in the neck. His father is recovering in the hospital.
The stab wound's alleged, or that he allegedly did it? It's a real stab wound. Right?
It's a real stab wound, but
he
allegedly.
We can prove the stab wound. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I allegedly stabbed you in the neck. No, I have a stab wound in the neck.
Yes. Okay. He's the whatever. Yes. Semantics. Okay. Well, actually,
and
grammar.
Plus, he
whatever.
Called and admitted to it.
Yes, but still, he hasn't gone to trial for it yet. He stabbed his father because he was angry. Because his father wanted to do a home circumcision on him.
Oh, wow. Oh, well.
Wait, right. This might be justified.
Yeah, it's absolutely
how
justified.
How old is 20? He's 20 years old?
20, yes.
Dude, you got to be kidding.
This is self-defense.
No.
Oh.
I'm pleading self-defense at this point.
I mean, anteater notwithstanding.
Now, his parents had this conversation with him about wanting him to have this circumcision. Then his father, the conversation was over. His father went to take a nap on the sofa when he ran and stabbed him in the neck and then ran away. He was so freaked out by what he did, he called the police. He called the police and had them come to the house, and he walked out of the house with his hands up saying, don't shoot. I'm the one who called. I stabbed my dad. He explained why. Now, the parents have countered this by saying...
You know, the cops are saying, we're going to release you on your own recognizance because that's
take
ridiculous.
The cuffs off.
Now, the parents have countered as saying that their son is schizophrenic, bipolar, and autistic, and that they actually wanted to take him to see a urologist.
But he isn't circumcised.
So, I don't know. This is a he said story at this point.
Do you remember years ago on Saturday Night Live, there used to be a commercial on regular TV, and it was like the Cordova or something, and they're going over these bumps, and this guy is in the back, and he cuts the diamond, right? And so Saturday Night Live did a thing where they
did the bris.
We're going to do a bris, and it's going over all these things. Garrett Morris is driving the car, and he's looking back, and they're just wailing over these bumps. And the guy's like, Yachim or whatever.
What? Yikes.
Yeah.
Lachaim, not yet.
Lachaim. Well,
Lachaim.
Develtefish.
To life.
Okay. Now, this was in Minnesota, and actually, I have seen this series of tweets, and it gets more hilarious the farther the tweets go down. So, if you get the opportunity, you should look it up. The Wyoming, Minnesota Police Department wanted to kick off their DUI holiday season because, the DUI arrests go up around the holidays. They publicly tweeted, do not drive drunk. I will find you. I will arrest you. I will make you listen to One Direction cover bands on the way to jail. Now, the retweets, it's been retweeted about 5,000 times at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be millions.
One guy tweeted back to the police department, but what if I like One Direction? And the police department tweeted back, no one likes One Direction.
This is true.
Yes. There are people have been starting to, parody it.
Shelley, is this...
And
is
people
this,
are making memes of it.
Shelley, is this akin to the banana slicer thing on Amazon?
Where people...
The reviews of the banana
amazing
slicer?
Amazing reviews of the banana slicer? Kind of, but it's actually true. It's actually real. Another person posed the question, retweeted to it and said, do you guys offer Uber rides but like for free? And the police department replied, yes, to jail.
Whoa. You can't take a guy to jail because he asked for an Uber because he's too drunk to drive.
No, they want the police to drive you.
Yeah, he wants the police to
drive you. If you're in Southern California,
you
call Jan's Towing. They'll come and get you for free,
Tipsy
put your car in a flatbed, and drop it off in your driveway and you on your doorstep.
Yes.
I think in a lot of areas, AAA will do that too.
Cool.
Although in our area, AAA uses Jan's Towing. So
there you go.
It's the same thing. Same. So if you get a chance to go and find that Twitter feed, it's the Wyoming, Minnesota, and it is pretty funny.
I have to mention here the thing with the oil pipeline in North Dakota and, the protests and everything. And So I was watching a thing, and of course, this is a guy that owns the company that does the pipeline. So of course, he's going to have a completely different view. And they were asking him, they're like, well, do you think these protests are going to get worse? And he goes, it's the end of November. It's North Dakota. He goes, my guess is that the protests are going to stop pretty soon because it's too damn cold out there.
Well, I think when they doused them all with a fire hose, that pretty much put a damper on it.
When they what?
When they doused them all with a fire hose.
Last week.
And it's 3 below.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
I have other views on that than you guys do, clearly. I don't agree with what they're doing, but...
Moving oil? Making us energy efficient? Okay. Self-sufficient?
According to the guy that owns the company, none of it is on Indian land. It's all on private property.
Right. Well, okay, we're not going to get political here.
I didn't realize pipelines were political.
Brought this up.
Look, politics happen in the world.
I don't think it's politics. It's a pipeline.
It is a pipeline. It's not politics. It's oil.
Well, there was one other aspect of this one I wanted to bring up, and that I forgot earlier. Other local police departments have gotten in on the fun. The Oxford, Minnesota,
they're dousing people too. Oh. This is about the pipeline?
Yeah, this is not about the pipeline. The Oxford, Minnesota Police Department tweeted that Wyoming, that seems extreme even for us. We play Christmas music. Get arrested by us.
Come drink in our state.
Yeah, No, it's the same state.
All I want for Christmas is you, all the way to the police station.
Oh,
you'd confess to anything if they just shut it off, wouldn't you?
Yes. Okay.
I stabbed Bruce in the neck.
Yeah.
Okay, this story actually made me laugh out loud. I could not figure out what the heck, why this happened. And they can't figure it out either. The police are still trying to figure out what happened. Richmond, Virginia, at a CVS. It was late at night, like after midnight. It was a 24-hour CVS. Two guys walked into the CVS. They had a hankering for grilled cheese sandwiches. Okay. They didn't have any cheese. Let's run out. The only place that's open is CVS. We'll run out and see if they got any sliced cheese. They didn't care what kind of cheese.
Right.
They walked into the CVS in Carytown, which is near Richmond, Virginia, asked an employee if they sold sliced cheese. The employee said, "We don't have any sliced cheese." For some reason, that scared the employee, who then told his manager that there were two guys out there that wanted to buy sliced cheese. The entire staff locked themselves in the safe room in the back and wouldn't come out. Then another guy came in because he wanted some Orajel because he had a wisdom tooth coming in. And then another person showed up because they wanted ice cream. And they're all wandering around the store and all the employees are locked in the back room and no one knows why.
Did they have cheese?
It doesn't say in the story if they actually had cheese.
I don't think they do.
So then...
they have cheese whiz.
Finally,
for sure.
One of the customers called the police.
Said, hey, there's no employees
said
here.
They were really confused. All I did was ask for cheese, and then they all ran away. We don't know what's going on, and there's nobody here. So the police show up because they think something serious must have been happening for them to do this. No. Right now, that we still don't know. There won't be more revealed on this story, I'm sure. We still don't know why the entire staff locked themselves in the safe room behind the break room there.
Because they've been doing a few rails, and they were really paranoid.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
So you had four customers... and three cops standing in the CVS trying to get the employees to come out of the back room.
Was anything missing out of the pharmacy?
No, there was nobody stole anything. It was
the employees?
Oh, I don't know. That maybe more will be revealed. One of the police officers said, I'm laughing because this is weird. This is how weird apocalyptic movies start.
Yeah.
This is the police officer Barry said this, and he recorded a video of it on his Snapchat. That's just really bizarre. I'll be interested to see exactly why CVS said that they were investigating and that the employees may possibly need to be retrained.
Yeah. That's what I'd say, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just weird. Oh, and we have a sad story.
Oh.
Okay, what do you think of when I go, boom, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
Harris.
Yes, Harris on Barney Miller passed away yesterday. He was 71 years old.
That's the third. Fidel Castro. Florence Anderson. One you forgot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Florence Henderson.
Florence Henderson.
Florence Henderson. The one who was banging Greg Brady on the side.
Here's a story.
She wasn't getting any from Mike Brady because he was gay.
I guess maybe because Ron Glass passing away, Ron Harris, passing away hit me harder because I loved Barney Miller. I loved that show.
Who didn't love the Brady Bunch?
Huh?
Who didn't love the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, I liked it, but it wasn't like, I didn't make a point of waiting for Brady Bunch to come on.
I grew up on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
But I did make a point of, Barney Miller's coming on. Yeah, I loved that show. Oh, yeah.
Marsha.
Fidel Castro dying finally after years of, he's dead. No, he's not. He's dead. No, he's not. He's dead. No, he's not.
Celebrate good times.
Did you see some of the pictures from Miami?
Yeah.
They shut down the city.
Yeah, shut down the entire city. It started in Little Havana, and the police blocked off the streets so that people could just, they knew it was going to happen, so they just let them party. And then it started spilling out into other areas, and basically the whole city.
Florida
is like
forgot all about protesting Trump. It was like Castro is dead.
Yeah, and friends of ours that are Cuba, that whose family is left because of Castro,
Fausto,
who fled the island. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Monica
were posting all over Facebook. They're so excited. The whole family. I've seen videos of elderly family members just crying when they found out. It's,
you know, the brother's still running the show.
I know, and that's part of the thing. We got to wait and see if he changes anything, and if he doesn't, because I'm thinking at this point that the Cuban people are, they're like, okay, thank God he's dead. Can we now get some normalcy? Get, you know, have a real government. And if he doesn't change stuff, I'm thinking maybe
can we get some new cars?
Viva la revolucion may happen again. You never know. We shall see.
Oh, great. You mean we can leave them all standing on the beach again? Bay of Pigs?
Oh.
Yeah, we'll help you. Oh, just kidding.
God. Okay, on Wednesday, and I've forgotten where. Oh, Des Moines. At the Chipotle on Merle Hay Road, a man entered the restaurant, got in line, ordered a burrito. When he got to the cash register, he handed the girl a note saying that he had a gun in his pocket and was going to shoot her if she didn't give him all the money.
Ooh. Not only is it robbery, it's threatened homicide.
She freaked out and just ran to the back of the store without even, she didn't give him any money. She didn't do anything. She just, and ran to the back of the store. So he picked up his burrito and walked out.
Wow, that's going to be an expensive burrito for that guy.
Yes, they have not yet identified the suspect. They are reviewing video of the incident. It was not disclosed whether the burrito was chicken or steak. That's the last line of this story. I had to quote it.
Might have been a vegetarian burrito.
Yeah.
Oy.
You know, if it's either a really ingenious way to get a free burrito or it's a really stupid way to get a free burrito.
A really stupid way.
Yeah, eventually they will identify him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I doubt it's his, I doubt it's his first time in there.
She told me to just take it and go. I didn't say anything to her about robbing the place.
Yeah, that's true, because he didn't actually say anything.
He
handed her
a note.
That's true. If she still has the note, he's toast.
Of course she's got it. What would have been classic if she dropped the note on the counter and ran and he grabbed the note up.
Yeah.
Went out in the parking lot, lit it on fire and burned it and ate his free burrito.
In front of the cameras.
Yes. Yeah. The note said, have a nice day.
Yeah. Can I have a free burrito? And she walked away.
Yeah, can I have a free burrito? These days, they'd probably be able to look at the burnt note and go, that's not what it says.
These days, if you talk to Chipotle and hand them a note saying, can I have a free burrito? They'd probably give you one.
Probably. This next story happened in Canada. Now,
our northern neighbors.
Something interesting happened on the way to the cocaine bust. Well, actually happened at the cocaine bust. Investigators in York, Toronto, Canada, were investigating via various methods what they believed to be an extensive drug trafficking ring, including the ringleader, and I've never heard of this guy, but apparently he's big in Canada, Balwinder Dhaliwal.
Balwinder?
He's an alleged criminal mastermind both in drug rings, and he's also
just
known
ask
as,
him.
He's also known as the King of Car Thieves.
Yeah.
Now he and his 30-year-old son were arrested in this. In this, what do you call it?
Sting.
Yeah, sting. There you go. Interestingly
enough,
along with the cocaine they were expecting to find, they also found some stolen goods.
Like cars?
A luxury car, some car parts, a case of e-cigarettes.
A case of e-cigarettes.
Yes. Some booze, the aforementioned cocaine, and $30,000 worth of Nutella.
Apparently, he's the king of Nutella.
Why?
As well.
I've never seen $30,000 worth of Nutella all in one place.
How much?
How
much
pictures
cocaine?
Like got all these jars stacked. Huh?
How much cocaine was there?
It doesn't actually say how much cocaine. They just
because how much cocaine was really meant nothing compared to the Nutella shortage in Canada right now.
I know. I was like, it's a story about this cocaine ring getting bust. Cocaine plus auto.
$30,000 of Nutella is a lot of Nutella.
Yeah.
That's cases and cases and cases. What does it run? $3.99 a bottle or something?
Oh, not even that. It's like $2.49 a jar or something. I mean, I had a jar of it. I mean,
let's call it $30 a case.
That's a lot of Nutella.
1,000 cases of Nutella.
Yeah, that's
Why?
A lot of Nutella.
Why would you sell that? Why would you steal that much Nutella?
We are so desensitized to these things.
You know what
I'm
missing?
We make no big deal out of the cocaine.
Yeah,
you know what I'm missing?
Right.
We're amazed by the Nutella.
Right.
Well. The reason why I'm amazed by the Nutella is that it's a cocaine bust and not a weed bust. Because if it's
that
a weed bust, the Nutella makes
make
total
sense.
Sense.
Yeah, right. But it wasn't.
And 42 cases of animal crackers.
Yeah.
To spread the Nutella on.
That just baffles me. And the police, one of the detectives, Sergeant LaSalle, said he called in the unusual find, and had to repeat himself several times. He said, yes, I said Nutella already, he said, because nobody believed him.
Was anybody wearing pirate costumes?
No, not as far as I can tell.
Just checking.
Okay, and finally, this story in. American teens are apparently doing it wrong.
Doesn't surprise me.
There is, there's kind of a little rivalry going on between teenagers in Australia and teenagers in Norway. They have something called schoolies, which is when the kids are like a month away from getting out of school and they start to go wild. They start partying and stuff. And Australian teens are known for you know, tying one on and going out and yucking it up and having a great time. Norwegian teens have taken that one step further. They have organized themselves into clubs, schoolie clubs, and they raise money within their groups because they want to offer prizes for the teenagers who can have the most unusual sex in the great outdoors, the teenagers who can spend the most money on pimped-up party wagons.
Wait, is this high school?
Yes. And who can spend 3 weeks solid drunk and still go to school. And they give prizes for this.
I'm all over the sex in unusual places.
I'm thinking, you know, American teens, we talk about, you know, spring break or whatever as being a time of debauchery and they've got the girls gone wild and all that doodah. We got nothing on Norway.
Okay, really fast as an addendum to this.
Yeah.
Weirdest place you've ever had sex, Shelley?
A car.
Weirdest place you've ever had sex, Mark?
Inside of a bush on the beach in Maui.
Inside of a bush.
Yeah, I have three. The glass elevator at the Bonaventure Hotel.
Oh, I didn't think that was that weird. Sorry.
The observation car on the Amtrak, Coast Starlight, and the lifeguard tower at Laguna Beach, Main Beach.
With a lifeguard?
No.
Okay.
But you know what I discovered? Cool. Do you know why that happened?
That would have made it cool.
Because sex on the beach,
a bit too sandy.
Not a great idea.
No, sand gets
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey everyone, it's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips, they've got regular chips, they've got medallions, they've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsored people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back.
To the same old place that you laughed about.
Come on, Shelly. It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Or give us a rendition of Last Christmas.
No.
How about All I Want for Christmas
No.
is You? You have a topic.
I do.
Yes, you do.
I don't even know what to call it, though.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah. How do you know when enough is enough when it comes to introspection, personal writing? How long are you going to find yourself so fascinating?
Program overload?
Sort of. It's like, I'm wondering, when do you get to the point when you know you've done enough writing and just doing your 10th step is good enough? Because...
So you're being specific as to inventory.
Well, no. I'm just in general. Like, because I did my inventory, and... But there were other things that I needed... You know, there were things I needed to deal with, and there was other writing that I did in a 10th step sort of way for a very long time. For, like, 3.5 years.
Then you just stopped 10 steps altogether?
No, I still do 10 steps, but not that intensive writing, because I found that, at least for me, I got to a point where too much introspection led to morbid reflection, which is not good for any alcoholic. And it sort of seemed to me that I just really was not that important. I wasn't that fascinating anymore. I needed to, like, get out in the world. But the reason I'm wondering about it is because I hear from other people in recovery, people that have, you know, a number of years, that they're constantly doing writing. And I'm wondering
if you're doing it right.
If I'm doing it wrong, you know, am I doing it wrong? Or is there a cutoff date, or is there a way to do this that's correct? You know, I'm just confused.
You think, Mark, this is a sponsor-driven question? Because I'll give you a for instance. My new sponsor, Michael, although I don't know, if I had picked this other gentleman, Clint, I would imagine that there would be a lot of writing. I don't know that because I don't know Clint on that personalized of a basis, but I would bet that Clint is someone that has a lot of people write, regardless of how much time you have.
Probably.
So does Becky, your sponsor, have you do this? Or is this just you doing it and then wanting to know if we think you're doing it too much?
No, I don't write nearly as much as I used to. Once in a while, she'll say, you know, write a quick 10th step on it, or we'll discuss it as in a 10th step form. I did that today, actually.
If you write a 10th step, isn't that a 4th step?
But it's only about one thing.
Maybe that's all you had that you needed to deal with.
Right, but
it's your mini 4th.
I hear of a lot of people doing a lot more intensive writing. Like, do you ever stop writing?
Yeah, I hear that too.
you know, and I'm wondering where that comes from, or is that the way we're supposed to be doing it, or because it's not indicated in the first 164 pages if you're using the Alcoholics Anonymous text. So I increasingly have the feeling that I'm doing it wrong because other people I know that have time are continually writing all this stuff. I'm like, what are you writing about?
Well, I'll give you an example.
I don't know.
Let's say you're in Narcotics Anonymous.
Right.
And they have the Narcotics Anonymous step workbook, which there is a tremendous amount of writing in. I would think that no matter how much time, if you go back to work these steps again and you go through that same workbook, you're going to be writing a ton.
Yeah, but are you supposed to do them again? I thought you were supposed to do the first 9 and then 10, 11, 12 are the maintenance steps.
Well, I know people that have not with everybody, but with some people, they get a new sponsor and their sponsor wants them to go through the steps with them. Which I know gets a little funky because certainly your fourth step should be tiny, you know, especially if you've been doing 10 steps, you know. So, but I know, like, I've had guys that I sponsored that had gone out again. And, you know, and I said, I want you to write me an inventory just like you never wrote it before, because I want to know everything that your previous sponsor knew, so that I know where you're coming from, what you're all about. You know, not like they're any different than I was, but it gave me a lot of insight on them. What about you, Mark? Do you think that you need to write ad nauseum?
No. Like, I am... I'm in the middle of doing a 4-step right now. Only because I became a member of a new 12-step program. And I need to work through the steps.
Different kind of 4-step, even.
Yeah. But even still, it's small. Because I've addressed so many things in life. And I'm really having to dig and look for things to write about.
Right.
You know, I mean, right now, I'm pretty much done with it, and 80% of it is me.
Because
it's like, you know, because I'm clear what I did to myself. And food's a different thing, because it's an isolation thing, and it's more of not a whole lot of other people I damaged around food. I mean, other than, you know, stealing everyone's pudding. So I'm going to have to make a batch of pudding and give it to my siblings to make amends down the road. I already see that coming.
That's a tasty amends.
Yeah. So,
of which you won't get to have any.
Right. But I don't deserve any. I already had mine.
Yes.
But, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about their writing. My sponsor, my original sponsor that I had for 28 years, he wrote every day.
Like journal wrote kind of
like
thing?
Like journal wrote. But he was a writer for a living. So he enjoyed writing every day.
Yes.
I wrote some stuff for my first step.
Yeah.
I wrote my fourth step.
And that's about it.
That's about it. Because, you know, and I've done more than one 4-step, so I wrote them out. But other than that, I just have an opinion that if I am doing a thorough 10th step on a daily basis, I don't have a whole hell of a lot to write about.
That's what I was thinking, too. And I've heard of people that, like, say, well, I try to do a 4th step every year. And I'm like, about what?
Yeah, do if a you're better working 10th step. You shouldn't really have much of a 4th step.
Yeah.
How about, back to the way Shelley put it, I would think that, at least for me personally, if I've done whatever writing I thought I needed to do, and I have not gotten loaded as a result of anything I might not have written, I would think that I've written the right amount.
Yeah, and I'm not particularly uncomfortable about anything.
Well, and I think it maybe goes back to one of those things kind of that we talked a little bit about on the last show, that people might feel like they're not doing, like maybe I'm not doing it right because I hear other people that are writing like crazy.
Right.
And my estimation would be you're doing whatever the right amount of it is for you because you've successfully just completed 10 years sober recently. You know, now, if you were on the verge of drinking all the time or you're shaky and your program sucks and you just, you know, you can't seem to get it all together, maybe that requires more introspection as to why things aren't working out well for you. But things, you know, if you're getting time, if you're sponsoring, if you're doing all these things and you're not drinking, it seems like you've written the right amount that you need to write. And if your sponsor says, write this, and you write it, you guys go over it, and it's good. I don't know why you would feel that you need to write more unless you're just thinking that you need to be like other people.
It's funny this would come up today, though.
Why?
Because right before I left my house, I have a roommate who's lived with us for 3.5 years.
A while, yeah.
Yeah. He was in the program. He had a year. He took a trip with his father. Came back, said, Dad and I stopped for a beer or two during our journey.
Is he program?
Yeah.
Oh.
I felt pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I said, oh, okay, this will be fun. And so I've watched him for the last couple years.
Progressively stumble get worse.
Stumble in late at night on more than a few occasions. But that's his thing. He is now back in the program. Has a new sponsor. Sponsor has him writing. He came to me today. And I love this. Can you help me write my first step? For $20.
For $20.
It's like, I said, what we say? What do you have so far?
Well, it's all in my head.
No. So he reads it to me.
Ah.
He's got like a page and a half. Which if I'm sponsoring him, you should have stopped half a page ago. But he's got a page and a half. I said, that all sounds good. He says, my sponsor wants 6 pages.
What?
I said, take your page and a half and make 3 copies of it and give it to him.
Oh, you're going to be his sponsor's favorite guy.
I'm going to be his sponsor's favorite guy because I hear these people a lot of times. I hear these sponsors who just assign work. Not for the purpose of you being introspective of yourself.
To see if you'll do it.
Just to see if you'll do it.
That sounds like a little power trip to me.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, you can do that. You can write 4 pages of, I don't know what to say. 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 I said, or you could just pray about it. And you'll get your answer. Are you done or not? Or you may want to go sponsor shopping.
Well, as an example, when I have guys do writing, the only writing that I expect to get a bunch of writing on is inventory. Because, like, I'll tell someone, I want you to write me a couple of paragraphs about step one or a couple of paragraphs about step two or step two. I mean, I'll have guys write for almost every step except for, I think it's 6 and 8 or something. And I've had guys where I say, I want you to write me a couple of paragraphs. They bring me back 5 pages. And I'm like, yeah, I used to have this guy, Dave, that I used to say, write me a couple of paragraphs, bring me back 5 pages. Like on step one. you know, give me a couple examples how your life's unmanageable, you know, blah, blah, blah. He'd bring me back a mini inventory. And I'm like, I don't need 700 examples. I just need a couple examples. Exactly. And then when we're talking, you know, we're going to use what you wrote as a basic guide for what we're going to talk about. So right. I don't need every single example of, you know, times you were unmanageable.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me a couple unmanageability things, and then we'll talk about it.
A half a dozen bullet points will be good.
Yeah.
We'll have a conversation from there.
Of course, then again, there's sponsors, though. Like I used to tell my guy James. You know, I sponsored James for a while, and I would tell James, do some writing on that, whatever. Oh, this is concerning me. We'll write about it and see, you know, see what you come up with. Guy, write 12 pages. I'd be like, dude. And this was like... the introspection leads to morbid reflection that Shelley mentioned. If that wasn't so long, that'd be a great name for the show.
Yeah. I mean, I learned early on in this program about acceptance. And I think part of the reason I worked so hard on learning acceptance is by truly getting an understanding what acceptance is and accepting everything for being the way it is, I don't have much that bothers me.
Right.
And if I don't have much that bothers me, I don't have to write about it.
Well, Shelley, in along with what your personal predicament is, what do you do with gals when you're having them write? Are you one that requires a ton of writing? Or
I am not the boss of them. My job is to take them through the steps. I say, write about this. I'm not assigning people anything. And that's one of the things that drives me crazy sometimes, because especially with younger people that I've sponsored, they ask me what their assignments are. Like, it's homework.
Don't get loaded.
And, yeah, and I'm not exactly clear on what they're expecting, because this isn't a class. This is your life. Put into it what you expect to get out of it. I mean, I'm not making any requirements or anything like that. You know, I suggest that you write a little bit about XYZ, but it's not... You know, you're not getting graded on this.
Yeah, yeah, I've had, you know.
Great final words. I'm going to forget them before
my sponsee is all learned. Don't ask me what should I be working on, because you're going to get the same answer all the time. I brought it up last show. Surrender, acceptance, and willingness. Just work on those. So that I had one guy. I was going to call and ask you what I should be doing now. So I just started working on surrender, acceptance, and willingness. I was like, that's good. Just like a guy called me. I was going to call you the other night. But I didn't. I said, why? He goes, I just read page 417. I said, why? He said, because that's what you told me to do.
You've got perfect. Your sponsors auto on sponsor. Autopilot.
Auto sponsor. Perfect. It's just, you know. Well, and that's what I actually.
Call 1-800-SPONSOR.
That's when I actually know they're actually ready to move on to the next thing. When they go autopilot to.
Yeah.
What I would have told them to do had they called me, they have now learned to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But because I sit and listen, Shelley, when you share about, am I doing it right? All I keep thinking is, if you do for the next 10 years what you did for the last 10 years, you know what you'll have? 20 years.
Yeah, that's true.
So
no
you
friends.
Know what? Yeah, but no, but if you do for the next 10 years what you did for the last 10 years, you'll have 20 years. Because you've done it all exactly the way you were supposed to do it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because if you were supposed to do it somewhere else, some other way, your higher power would have taken you that direction.
That is true.
So then, Shelley,
yes,
what would your final words be?
I don't know. Go to Mark.
Mark, what would your final words be?
Let your conscience be your guide.
That's what I was going to say. No, I don't know.
you can use to thine own self be true. But
that's true. I could use that. I don't think I have any pearls of wisdom for this one. I mean, like, mine completely gone blank. I got my question answered. Now I'm done.
Okay. My final words are, if you put 1/20th of the energy into staying sober as you put into getting loaded, this is going to be a cakewalk. So, Mark.
What?
We have friends back east and in the Inland Empire.
That'll be 12-Step Gazette and step12magazine.com. And you can go on to either one of their sites. And you can read their fine, fine publications. Check out their newsletters. Go read them and support those who support us.
Shelley, we have a really incredible sponsor.
We do. My12stepstore.com.
.com.
Awesome place to get recovery gear, books, medallions,
Christmas
cards,
gifts.
Christmas presents for your favorite show hosts. Oh, all sorts of
things. I'm registered there.
You're registered there. I wonder if you could register there.
That'd be a really good feature on their website, wish
list. It would. It would be a wish list.
They might have it.
They might. You never know. Go and look it up, because I haven't actually checked for something like that. They have everything you could ever need for your recovery.
They will after this show goes up.
Once. Yes. So check them out, please. Support them. You can go to recovery101.net, scroll down to the banner, and click directly to their site.
Do they have any cool shirts there that they might be able to get somewhere else, too?
They do. Why don't you tell us where those shirts come from?
TerminallyUniqueApparel.com. We've got the Lynchburg Recovery shirt. Looks a lot like a Jasper Daniels label.
Uncle Jack?
Uncle Jack. That's Jasper's Uncle Jack.
And it is a
parody. We've got the Sober AF, Clean AF, Awesome AF shirts, which seem to be pretty popular. You're getting a lot of likes on Instagram. But you can go there. You can order up stuff for the holidays for your friends. And Shelley, or Mark, people listen to the show.
If they're still awake.
Yeah. Thank you.
That.
We appreciate you listening to the show. Sorry, Bruce, I did that to you.
Big yawn.
There any way you listen, thank you. But we do ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net, where you can click on the shows and you can go up there and you can like them, follow them, leave comments on them, add them to your playlists. However, in order to do that, you must first become a member of Podomatic. It is free.
And fun.
So when you go up on the site and you go to do any one of those things, if you're not yet a member, there will be a pop-up come up that will guide you to becoming a member. It's very simple. And once you've joined, you can go up and do all those things, and you can comment and leave show topics that you have, which will help you avoid having to listen to things like what we've been doing.
There you go. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You can just click log in with Facebook. If you're logged in with Facebook at the moment, it'll log in like 2 seconds. You become a member. They'll send you one email every time a new show is posted. That's the only contact you're going to get from them, as far as I know. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy. Like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We do post copies of the show up there and goofy recovery memes and things like that. If you'd like to join the Recovery 101 secret group, yeah, that's pretty hard to find. So you have to message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper or Bruce Burnett, or send us a message at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We can get you added to that group, and you can interact with many of the people that you hear about that send boozy news and things like that. A lot of people on the shout-out list end up in that group.
How many secret members do we have?
I don't know.
About 400.
Yeah,
a little more. I might make mention that if every single person in our secret group went and commented on our shows, we'd probably be number one all the time.
Okay.
You know, liked and did it every time. Because normally we get...
But they're secret.
Anywhere from 15 to 25 comments. And, you know, so, it, you know, 400. That'd be a Christmas
gift
that keeps
on
giving
us. How about everybody
us
on the Recovery 101 show fan page?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, there's like 5,000 there. Let's see. Yes, we have... an email address or recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send boozy news and things like that there. If you want to write a jingle, you can send it there. All it's got to have
jingle,
is Recovery
jingle,
101
jingle.
Or Recovery 101 Radio
jingle.
Show.
I
you can mention
Chris
the host's
jingle,
names, King Bruce, Shelley, or Mark, or not. It just depends on what you want to do. We will use every jingle at least once. But
and
often
some of them.
Often, we'll use it many, 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 many times. If you are a recovery entertainer, you do either music or comedy or something, you want us to use your stuff as lead-out entertainment, then send us some MP3s as the preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link. And then the link you want that to go to, whether it's a place where you sell your stuff like SoundCloud or something, or your Facebook page or your YouTube page or whatever you want. And we will make that happen for free.
And fun.
And fun. And let's see. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
I have lead out music.
Who you got?
Shelly and I.
What are you doing?
The Christmas song. Christmas song.
I thought we might save that for it's too long for a lead in, isn't it? Yeah.
And by the time, and you know, we're getting to where these things are going to be in December, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Addicts clean, are you listening? Sober drunks, nose is glistening. A beautiful show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Gone away is the old life. Here to stay is the new life. We do a fun show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. In the meadow we can build a program and pretend that it's from Jimmy K. He'll say, are you sober? We'll say, no, man. But Bill can do the job the AA way. When we're clean, ain't it thrilling? Sober drunks are a-chillin'. We'll frolic and play the recovery way. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Recovery 101, a wonderland.
Merry Christmas, everybody.